And now welcome to the midday for, it must be about a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and with me is one of our final Forte winners, and she's Maya Pirik, who's a senior at Madison West High School, and among other things, a player of the harp, and welcome to the midday.
Thank you.
You've been playing that instrument, or a harp anyway, since you were 9 years old?
A little bit earlier, actually. I started playing when I was about 8 and a half.
And what inspired that?
Well, I played violin and Suzuki strings for about 10 years, and we went to Stevens Point for Suzuki camp every summer. One summer, I saw a 7-year-old boy play one of the songs that I was playing on violin on harp in one of the recitals, and I turned to my mom and said, "Mom, I want to play harp," and she was like, "Yeah, no."
A little bit more of a production than playing the violin.
Yeah, and then a few years later, one of my friends picked it up, and my parents were talking about how cool it was, and I got a little bit upset because I said I wanted to play harp, and they had said no, so... Yeah, we looked into it and found a local teacher, and I picked it up about then.
So where do you find a harp? If I decide today that I want to play the harp, where do I go looking for one?
Well, there are two main harp factories, I guess you could say, in Chicago. Venus and Lion and Healy. And so you can go down there, and I think they have harps on the floor that you can just buy, and then you can also order them specialized. We ordered one.
How long does that take?
You know, I honestly don't remember.
I suppose if you were 8 and a half, you might not remember.
Yeah. Well, we got it, I think, when I was 9 or 10. We rented for the first year, but it was almost more worth it to just buy a harp because it pays itself off otherwise if you're...
Sure. And as an 8 and a half or a 9-year-old, though, obviously you have smaller hands. Does that make any difference for the harp? Do you have to have a smaller harp to accommodate that?
The strings are all pretty evenly spaced throughout all the harps. My first harp that I started out on that we were renting had a few less strings and it was smaller, so I guess feet touching the floor might be an issue.
That could be important, yeah.
But, yeah, no.
Because you have a couple of pedals there that you work too, right?
Yeah, there's seven. One for
seven.
Each
note.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
What an unlikely instrument.
<Isn't>
it? And yet it sounds great, doesn't it?
Thank you.
You have some Bach to get us started musically here, and this is arranged, I presume, from a keyboard piece by one of the premier harpist arrangers, Marcel Grangeny.
Which one is that? Are we starting with the Largo?
The Largo we are.
Yes,
that's right.
Okay.
Awesome. You have decreed it. And so what about this Largo attracts you?
I feel like there's a deep feeling in the piece that kind of tugs at me, and it swells in the middle and comes back. Like, I think there's a little bit of tension, and then that kind of resolves in the end, which I really like.
Well, here it is, then. This is the Largo by Bach and Grangeny.
Thank you.
guest today for the midday is Maya Pirik, and she's playing a variety of things on her harp. She's a senior at Madison West High School, and that means that you must be just about done with the high school scene.
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
And where are you going to be going to college?
I'm going to be attending UW-Madison for the next 4 years. I'm planning on majoring in harp performance and some sort of science. It was going to be physics, maybe environmental studies.
That's pretty common, though, isn't it, for musicians to have a double major in some kind of science, math, or physics, or environmental science?
Yeah, I would say.
Seems to be a good, I don't know if it's a left brain, right brain complement or what exactly, but they do seem to go well together.
For sure, for sure.
You also have an interest in, and I guess a love for singing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever sing and play the harp?
You know, I have not actually ever done that. I've played harp with friends who have sang that you can play a lot of piano accompaniments on the harp, or I think there are duets, but I have never actually sang myself and played harp at the same time.
That's a good long tradition, especially when you get into the, you know, the Anglo-Irish Welsh tradition. You
For
run
sure.
across those harpists. What about the life of a harpist? Now, I mean, you have perhaps the biggest instrument that you carry with you. In other words, if you were a pianist, you'd go to an orchestra performance and the piano would be there. But as a harpist, you're toting that thing with you wherever you go. Does that ever get sort of unwieldy? Do you have to make extra plans?
Yeah, for sure. So I normally show up about an hour in advance to everything, and that's in addition to packing it up and tuning several times that day and before and after you move it. So we have a van that we put the harp in, haul it around, and I have a dolly that goes upstairs. So if there's ever a broken elevator.
Oh, yeah, you have to plan for that, too.
Not to worry, yeah. Yeah, no, it takes a little bit longer to haul than a violin or flute.
And longer to tune, too, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
How many strings?
47.
Another odd number.
Yeah. There are harps with less, 46, 42, depending on concert grand.
And are they usually color-coded like that? Does that indicate octaves? Is that what the red strings do?
Yeah, so the red strings are all C's, and the black and bluish as you get up top are F's.
And you were warming up, you were playing some scales earlier, and the fingering did not look like what I would have expected anyway.
Yeah, well, you don't use your pinkies when you play the harp, fun fact.
Neither one.
Neither. Mm-hmm. I think it's because they're small and it's harder to...
They don't reach as far.
Yeah, and also I feel like it would be easy to pull a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a lot of technique to work with, not pulling muscles and harp and working on that. I think normally you just do 4-3-2-1 and then you cross over and do 4-3-2-1 again when you're doing scales all the way up.
Well, yeah, that is another thing that you notice when you're watching a harpist is that the hands alternate from one, I mean, you know, left hand obviously on the left hand, right on the right, but you're alternating from one to the other, even playing a scale.
Yeah, well, I can do scales one-handed or two-handed or, you know.
Really? Well, Give us a one-handed scale to see if we can tell the difference between them two.
So, one-handed is... Now you want to...
Yeah, it's a contrast for two-handed. How's it going to sound different? When would you use one as opposed to the other?
I generally only practice one-handed scales because I'm just practicing for the technique and the fast replacements. All the fingers go on at the same time. They're in the same plane of strings. That's the idea that it's like, you know, you get ready and then you just grab the strings and you're there and cutting off all the sound at the same time. Yeah.
So how does staccato versus legato work?
well, I mean, you can make more staccato sounds by pulling off sooner, or you can, there's different types. You can like pull it and just muffle it right away. So it's like boom, boom, boom. Yeah. And then you can muffle it, and you can, you know, there's different ways to muffle strings and grab some and stop a few from ringing, but let others ring. So.
And then there are also pieces, I guess, mostly latter day, where you're actually like slapping the frame of the harp and that kind of thing.
I will play a piece like that later, actually.
Oh, good. We'll get to that. But first, we have something which is definitely worth the time to listen to, and then some. It's by Handel. It's a Passacaglia. And do you know offhand, Maya, what a Passacaglia is?
Yeah, I think it's kind of regal, more of a march type thing.
Okay. Well, we'll find out from the way you play it. And this one is this one's by Handel, and it's a Passacaglia. We don't know what its origin is, maybe from one of the keyboard suites, but here it is on the harp. Thank you. There you have the work of Mr. George Frederick Handel in the form of a passacaglia played by my guest for the midday today. Her name is Maya Pirik, and she's one of the final Forte winners for 2015. We'll hear more from her and her harp, and we'll also have the quiz question in about 7 minutes or so. All of that after this here on WPR. And back now with Maya Pirik and her harp. I have to ask you about some of these spare time activities, Maya. It's such an interesting combination. Okay, dance. What kind of dance would that be?
I like a lot of different types of dancing. My favorite is a couple dancing, swing dance, or...
Really?
Yeah.
That's all kind of all the rage, isn't it, swing these days?
I guess. I guess I'm not really sure what's all the rage these days.
And you also, though, have an interest in ceramics, so that means you, are you throwing pots or what?
Yeah, throwing pots, doing hand-building work. I actually built a sculpture of a harp and...
Oh, that's ambitious with all the detail work.
Yeah.
Required for that. And then this is one that I have not seen before, circus arts. What does that entail?
Well, so I'm not actively still taking classes and participating that way and whatnot.
There are classes in circus arts?
There are.
At Madison West?
They're not at Madison West. In Mesomany, they have the circus arts, and there are, if you know what Cycropia is.
I don't.
It's wonderful. You should go there. They do parades downtown, and they do shows. I've seen them at Memorial Union and all sorts of kinds of things.
But circus arts, though, that means what, you're painting wagons or painting faces or what?
So I stilt walk. I can ride a unicycle.
No kidding.
We have a trapeze and silks in our backyard.
I have to digress just a little bit here. How do you learn to stilt walk? And does that not make parents a little nervous?
Well, yes.
When they see their harpist up there, you know, what, 7 feet up in the air walking around.
Well, I started off on 2-foot stilts, so that when I was younger didn't make me too much taller.
Training stilts, huh? Good idea.
Yeah, and so you still feel pretty tall. When you fall over, though, it's not as far to go, and they teach you how to fall, if that's possible, and how to twist around when you're falling backwards.
So you have fallen?
Oh, of course. That's the only way to get down
sometimes.
How do
you fall?
You fall forward, and you try and land on your knees, but you use your weight to compensate to slow down your fall. And if you start to fall backwards, they teach you to twist around and fall forwards, and yeah.
And you survived that.
It really doesn't hurt as much as you'd think, and you're wearing knee pads and stuff.
I suppose that's true. That would help some.
Yeah. So now I have 4.5-foot stilts, and that makes me, I think, 10 feet.
And what's the application for those these days? Can you use them at parties, or what's the social or artistic application for stilts?
Well, anytime there's a parade, you're always called. I don't know. We have walked on stilts in the Willie Street Parade, and that happened back in October, August. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anytime there's a parade or party or themed circus, you know, stilts are, yeah, people want stilt walkers.
Well, you're very diverse, and I didn't realize there was such a market for stilt walkers, but now that you mention it, the last few parades I've been to, I guess they had some. Well, I'm going to find out about some of these other diverse talents and abilities of yours, too, but we'll get back to the one at hand here for a few minutes and then get to our quiz question. You have a gigue here by Arcangelo Corelli, and that means something pretty fast-paced.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has liveliness to it. It's not super fast, but yes.
Okay, here it is, Gigue by Corelli. Thank you. charming little piece, a gigue by Corelli. And now, back to my guest today, Maya Pirek, Final Forte winner from 2015, and a harpist and a stilt walker and a person of various talents. And is there a particular composer, Maya, that you find just really well suited to the harp, one that's a personal favorite?
Well, obviously the composer who composed the piece I played in the Final Forte. I love that piece. So that's Marcel Tournier. Late 20th century composer, early 21st century.
What's so appealing?
Think I mixed those up.
Yeah, early 20th.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
What's so appealing about Tournier's work?
It has a little bit of a dissonance to it. It's still melodic. Mm-hmm. Well, it isn't perfectly so. I'm not quite sure how to describe it. I'll be playing some of his work later on. But, it really flows. It has some really fast parts, but it has some beautiful, deep, rich, slower parts as well. It's very diverse, I feel like.
Well, you have four preludes of his here, and they're short preludes. They only add up to a couple of minutes. But I imagine there's a good deal of variety in those, from what you say.
Yeah. So, actually, the next one I'm playing is Marcel Tournier, too.
That's right. Yeah, and actually, that's what you had lined up next was those preludes.
Mm-hmm.
You can play anything you like, though. Would you like to play the preludes next?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, good. Here we go. Short. what sort of Tournier techniques do we find in those?
This particular one, the technique used in these, I've played Salzedo technique excerpts for little scales and things.
Salzedo, we're actually going to hear a piece from him in just a minute. He's one of the premier harpists of the 20th century and harp composers.
Yeah, well, so there are two main harpists who kind of created harp technique that people go by and colleges want. One is the French technique, and one is the Salzedo technique. I learned more Salzedo from my current teacher, Danis Kelly, who actually was taught by Carlos Salzedo, which is
Wow. Is
very cool. She quotes him sometimes.
As people will do, when they've had one of those great teachers.
For sure.
You mentioned there's 7 pedals on this harp. How many of them would you typically use in a piece? And what exactly do they do?
So pedals, if you think about a piano and all the white keys are the strings on the harp, you know, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, then the pedals are kind of like the accidentals. So I have a harp of, you know, so many octaves, and if you change one pedal, it'll change all of, say, the C's or all of the D's. So you can have everything in flats, everything in naturals, everything in sharps. It's just as easy to play something with 7 sharps on the harp as it is natural.
So the pedal actually changes the key of the whole...
Yeah. So if you put the, you know, everything in natural, then all the strings are in natural. If you have an accidental of a C sharp, you flip the C pedal and it flips all of the C's sharp for until you switch it back.
Wow. That sounds like, you know, a device that Irving Berlin had on his piano. He could play, he could only play in one key, but he had this device that you hit the pedal or something and then suddenly everything is in whatever key you want.
But it's
routine for a harpist.
Yeah, so I guess to answer your question, it very much depends on the piece. The last piece I played didn't have a lot of pedals, it had a few. Some pieces don't have many pedals at all. This next piece I'm going to be playing has a lot of pedals, but...
This is actually a Salzedo, isn't it?
Yes, this is Chanson dans la Nuit.
And so you're going to be changing pedals fairly often in this fairly short piece?
Yeah. I think this one's a little bit longer than the last few I played, but...
All right, here we go. Chanson by Salzedo.
Thank you.
That's very atmospheric. And you were actually playing some of that with the backs of your fingers.
Yeah, so that uses the nails on the strings.
The strings have nails? Oh, your nails.
My nails on the strings, no.
That sounds a little painful, or is that something you have to build up calluses on the backs of your fingers, too, to make that work?
Well, no, it really only hits the backs of your nails, but it took me a while to do it without hitting my cuticles.
I can imagine. Oh, and you had some other things going on. Of course, you were knocking the harp. We talked about that.
Yeah, so I have a few cool technique things. I play close to the soundboard, so it gets a kind of twangy sound, like mm-hmm. instead of your normal, you know, it's a little bit different. So I start off with doing a little bit of that, and then I actually use my hand on the bottom and slide it up the strings to give that cool sound at one point. And there's a little bit of tapping on the soundboard, like a drum at one point, and then there's double glissandos with that is what I was doing with my left hand. My left hand on the way up did a double glissando with two fingers. So the glissando is kept a third apart, and there are two separate glisses up.
Wow.
And then...
That's a lot to keep up with.
It was hard to do at first, but, you know. And then on the way down, you use your nails. So it's supposed to give the effect of, like, falling leaves, just, like, floating around you. Yeah.
Well, I can see where the harp would be very effective if you wanted to... convey certain psychological states, too, from that piece.
For sure.
And now back to my guest today, Maya Pirik. She's a senior of just last maybe week or so, would it be, of your senior year at West High School?
About a month, actually.
Wasn't that long?
Yeah, we have Fine Arts Week next week, which is just art all week. And then.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fine arts, what is the fine art? What is the technique behind riding a unicycle? that's something that always looks so unwieldy. I saw one on University Avenue just a couple of days ago. I still don't know how anybody does that.
You know, I think it's all arm technique. You're learning how to balance with your arms.
I would think so, yeah. Does any of that help you at all with the harp?
Yeah, probably not the unicycle, I have to say. For sure the piano and violin helped, but... Mm-hmm. Probably not much else.
What kind of techniques are we going to find in this? Which is the piece you played for the Final Forte? It's a concerto work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, all harp techniques as a whole. I don't know. There's, trying to think, there's a variety of dynamics and different parts of the music. There's slow and rich, and there's very, very fast. There's kind of like this waterfall part. They're very fast scales that I'm doing. This one I actually do use both hands on.
Oh, good.
We were talking about earlier, but yes, there's waterfall parts. And
we'll listen for that. So this is called Fairy, and it's again by Marcel Tournier. dramatic finale there for the prelude and dance called Fairy, the work of Marcel Tournier. And my guest today has been harpist Maya Pyrick, who is just finishing up high school at Madison West, will be attending the UW-Madison. Thanks for sharing your music with us and some insights into the other many things you do.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.